I'm glad to be with you guys again. Thanks for joining in tonight. I know it's a tough week, a lot of midterms coming up, if not this week, and papers. So thanks for taking out some time just to be together, even though it is on Zoom, but also to hopefully hear from God and His Word. So if you would, turn to John chapter 20, the Gospel of John, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you have a Bible handy or if you want to look on your phone, John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. And what I wanted to look at, what I've titled this is From Fear to Courage, From Fear to Courage. And sort of the context of what's taking place. This is immediately after the resurrection. So you have the crucifixion of Christ and then Jesus showing up as the resurrected Son of God. And so we're going to look at this and see some things I believe we can learn and talk about fear and courage and how the Lord Jesus meets us in the craziness of chaos. And so if we would, go ahead and turn to, again, chapter 20 in the Gospel of John, beginning in verse 19, and we'll read 19 through 23, and it says this. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." So let's go to the Lord in prayer again, just as we prepare our hearts to hopefully hear from him tonight. Father God, thank you again for each one who was on this call. Thank you for the blessings and the technology to do this. We ask, oh Father God, that everything else would just be shut out of our minds. We'll be able to concentrate and hear from you. And Lord Jesus said, I pray after this time of looking in your word, we would know you a little better and we would be stronger in our faith and be the men and women you have created us to be. Thank you again for your love for us, that you have a plan and purpose for our lives that is good. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So as we look at this, from fear to courage, you know, fear can make you do crazy things. I read this acrostic on fear one time, and I think it can be very true. Fear, false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. Now, I'm not saying there's not times when you should be afraid. There's not times when fear is something that you should. God has created that emotion in us for protection oftentimes. Sometimes it's created in us to flee from things that could really bring harm to us. But a lot of times we are afraid of things we really don't understand. Things we don't understand what we're seeing. Things we don't understand what's going on. I'm going to share a little story of you in my younger days when I was very afraid. Some of you older guys and girls may remember this story, but when I was about 11, I was watching a show. There used to be a show that came on called In Search Of. And it basically was one of those shows that they went in search of all kind of crazy things. Well, this one was on Bigfoot. It was In Search Of Bigfoot. So I'm watching this show, and I'm by myself at my house. And I grew up on a farm. We were out away from everybody. And so I was already very afraid. And so I was hearing things in the woods. I was hearing things out the window. And I actually went and got my dad's shotgun at 11 years old and had that because I was afraid something was going to come after me. So about that time, my mom calls and says, "Hey, we are going to be later than expected. So you need to go over to your brother's." And my brother's 10 years older than I. So he had just gotten married. And he lived at the end of our little dirt road that we lived on, and he and his wife were living in this place down there, a trailer, actually, they just moved in. And so I said, "Okay, I'm going to my brother's." At this time, it's everything but dark. And I had this little bitty dirt bike, and so I'm going to get on my dirt bike, and I'm going to ride to my brother's and wait for my mom and dad to come home. So again, I'm 11 years old. I get on my little dirt bike, and I'm headed down the road, and I go up the hill, and all of a sudden, something jumps out in the woods from me, and it's huge. something in front of me, and it's shaking these bushes. And then something from behind jumped out. Well, naturally, I was terrified. I thought it was Bigfoot had come to get me. And so on my little dirt bike, what I did, the only thing I'm thinking is saying, okay, I've got to get out of here. I've got to flee. This thing is going to kill me. And so I go as fast as I can back up the hill and around the curve, and I see my brother's trailer down there. But the only thing I'm thinking is I'm hitting the highway and I'm gone. I'm not stopping. I'm not doing anything. My mind was to get to the main road and just take off. So I go down the hill, but unfortunately, my brother, if you haven't figured out by now, it was my brother who was scaring me. He had hid in the woods. My mom had called him and said, hey, Joe's coming over. Take care of him till we get there. So he and his best friend, who was visiting with him, go up and hide in the woods. They see me coming. They come out and they scare me, right? So I'm going down this road, and I'm saying, I'm hitting the road, and I'm leaving. Well, unfortunately, my best friend's buddy had just bought a brand-new Z28 Camaro, and he was blocking my exit to get out. So when I come around the curve, I see the Camaro, and the only thing I did was I slammed on the brakes, and I slid in the back of it, and I just destroyed the back of this Camaro on this motorcycle. So I get out. I run to my sister-in-law at the time, is standing at the door, and I run into her arms, scared to death, and then my brother comes down. And so I tell you that story because I was terrified, right? And that fear made me do some crazy things. It made me flee out of self-preservation. Of course, when mom and dad got home, they were not happy with my brother. But my best friend's car, I did probably about $1,000 worth of damage to it, but it was his fault. So I didn't feel bad about that. So I'm just saying a lot of times there are things of fear that takes place. There's fear that happens. Well, right now, these disciples are in a place of fear. And I say that because the context of what has just happened, Jesus Christ, their Lord, the one they had been following for 3 years, has been crucified. Jesus, the one who they have done life with, the one who is their friend, the one who they have went from town to town and preached the good news that the Christ, the Messiah, has come, has been crucified. Their whole life is upside down. They don't know where to turn, what to do. And besides that, the text says they were afraid in verse 1, and they were locked behind closed doors for the fear of the Jews. They were afraid that the same people who had crucified Christ would come and take them next to the cross. They were afraid that they would be next to follow in Jesus' footsteps. So they're locked behind the door. They're afraid. And I love the next part as we look at this. So we see the cause of the fear. There's discouragement. There's shame, there's confusion. All these things are taking place. They hear this report earlier. We didn't read this, but to hear this report from Mary Magdalene and the two Marys come, and they say, the tomb is empty. Jesus is not there. And so they're trying to process this. And then John and Peter have actually been to the tomb before this, and the body is gone. And there's all these rumors going around. What happened to Jesus? Where is he at? Some people are saying his body was stolen. They're in a state of confusion. And in the midst of all this, which often happens in our life, Jesus shows up. In a small way, in that story that I told you about, my sister-in-law was showing up for safety for me. When I saw her, all I knew was I need to get to her. As an 11-year-old boy, I knew that she would protect me. And I thought my brother was with her and he would protect me. But here they are, and what happens? I want you to hear the words again that Jesus says. And it says again in verse 19, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of times in my life, I need peace. And this is not a superficial, false happiness. It is a peace that goes beyond explanation. This word peace that is here is a word that means shalom. It's a deep peace, and it has a great meaning. You see, Jesus came. The Prince of Peace shows up. And I think it's interesting as we look about as much as what Jesus said as what he did not say. And this is what I want you to hear, because some of us are in places that we need peace, and some of us are in a place that there's no peace because of own decisions we've made, turmoil, things we don't understand. You see, the disciples had left Jesus, if you know the story, in the garden. The guards show up. They come to arrest Jesus. And chaos has erupted. And they flee their best friend, the one who had taught them and loved them and walked with them for 3 years. They abandon him. And then, of course, you have Peter, who denied him 3 times on the night of his trial, even to the face of Jesus. And even cursed and said he didn't even know him. So what does Jesus, the first thing he says, what did his disciples need? They didn't need condemnation. He didn't come and say, where were you guys? Why did you leave me? Why did you abandon me? Why did you let me down? No. He comes and says, peace to you. He meets them where they need to be met. And he brings words of encouragement, not words of condemnation. You see, for a Christian, for a follower of Christ, peace is not the absence of trouble, but it is the presence of God. Listen to that again. Peace for a Christian is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God. And we see this played out in this text. The trouble was still there. There were still people who were upset. There were still people who wanted to arrest the disciples. But the presence of the resurrected Lord comes, and he says, peace be unto you. The Prince of Peace shows up, and he speaks words of encouragement. You see, this peace he's speaking of here, and he's also speaking to us today, it's not just a greeting, but it's actually a message. And it's a message of peace that these disciples would be called to take to the whole world. And even now, as followers of Christ, we are called to bring that message of peace to the whole world. Again, it wasn't just a greeting, but it was a message. So what is biblical peace? One, it means peace with God. And you can see that in Romans 5:1. It is peace in difficult times, we see in John 14:27. We also see it's a peace in relationships in Ephesians 2:14 through 18. But also, and I love this verse here, it's peace with the past. I don't know about you, but I've done some things in my past that looking back, it just disturbs my soul. But yet, there is peace with the past with the resurrection Christ. He is bringing this truth to his disciples who have abandoned him. And he brings this message of peace. In Romans 8:1, it says this, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He doesn't bring a message of condemnation. He brings a message of hope, a message of peace. And so as we look at this and we continue to walk through the text, we know that he paid a price to bring this peace. The disciples had to grasp that this same Jesus who died now lived again and stood before them. You see, he brought the peace of God and the peace with God. Because the work of the cross brought peace. If you know the story of the crucifixion, the last thing that Jesus says on the cross is, it is finished. And this has a great meaning. And this is a meaning he is teaching his disciples now, and he wants to teach us too in order to grasp the peace of the Lord Jesus. So when he says it is finished, it is actually the words "it is finished" means to be paid in full. It's an accounting term of a debt that is owed. And during this time, if you owed somebody and you paid off that loan, they would give you a piece of paper and it would have this word "tetelestai" on it, which means paid in full. And it means you could never be charged again because the price had been paid. Jesus Christ from the cross, it is finished. It is paid in full. There is now a peace possible between God because I have taken on the wrath and the shame to give you hope and life. And so now he is the living truth, the living empowerment of the resurrection. And he reassures them with his wounds. I want you to not look past this again. In verse 20, he says this. When he said this, he says, "Peace be with you." Then when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord.